The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show comes to you on Monday, one day after your Giants lost to the Cleveland Browns 20-6 on Sunday Night Football. We'll go through a few things regarding that game, and we will also play some audio for you from Joe Judge and several of the Giants players as they reacted to Sunday night's loss, which dropped the Giants to 5-9, actually put them in third place in the NFC East, where they still have an opportunity with two games left to win the division title, but their playoff chances, their NFC East title chances, are obviously dwindling at this point. First and foremost, Giants fans, the first thing I wanted to talk about is the game last night pointed out that the Giants still have a long way to go in building this roster. The reality of it was they lost to a team in Cleveland that is now 10-4, team that is much farther along in its development, team that has more talent than the Giants do. Now, obviously, the Giants were playing with a backup quarterback. They're playing without Daniel Jones. They were playing without star cornerback James Bradbury, and as they have for most of the season, they were playing without their best offensive player, Saquon Barkley. But the reality of it was that Cleveland, you know, showed a team that is much farther along, has much more talent than the Giants do. You know, you compare offensive lines, and the Giants' offensive line played very, very well. But Cleveland's offensive line is still a little bit ahead of where the Giants are. Cleveland has Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, where the Giants have, at this point, Wayne Gallman and Alfred Morris. There's a huge difference there. Cleveland, at this point in time, has better wide receivers and more diversified, more productive tight ends than the Giants do. Sterling Shepard was upset last night when he was questioned about the Giants wide receivers and their inability to get open, at least, you know, according to analytics from Next Gen Stats. You know, Shepard was upset when he was questioned about that. But the reality of it is the Giants don't have enough at wide receiver. They don't have enough guys who make plays, who get open, who can catch and run, who can make big plays out of nothing. It's an area where they need more help. They need to add more talent this offseason. And that game last night, you know, really pointed that out. There were opportunities to make plays where maybe Colt McCoy was just a little bit off on two or three throws in the end zone during Sunday night's game. But still, they were balls that could have been caught. There were other times when, you know, Darius Slayton matched up against Cleveland's best corner, Denzel Ward, simply couldn't get open. I think, you know, Slayton had four catches, but it took nine targets to get those four catches. it becomes increasingly apparent that the Giants need to add some help in the receiver department, you know, in the upcoming offseason. Whether they do that in the draft, free agency, or both, I don't know, but it becomes increasingly apparent that it's an area where they need help. You know, the other area where it's apparent that they need help is in the pass rush. Last night, you know, the big difference, you know, last night on defense, you know, the Giants sit in that zone largely because of the cornerback situation that they have. They play a lot of zone, and they did that again, you know, Sunday night against Cleveland. The difference on Sunday was that Baker Mayfield, Cleveland's quarterback, was very comfortable in the pocket. The Giants only sacked him once. They only hit him one other time. Both of those, incidentally, by Dexter Lawrence, who played well on Sunday night. But the Giants' lack of a real, true dynamite, you know, dominant number one edge rusher was on display last night. Cleveland's offensive line made Carter Coughlin look like a rookie seventh round pick. They neutralized Leonard Williams. They picked up blitzes when Patrick Graham dialed those up. They made the Giants pass rush ineffective. Dalvin Tomlinson's a try hard pass rusher, but he's not a real good pass rusher. You know, BJ Hill is not a dynamic pass rusher. The Giants just don't at this point, with all the injuries that they had, even before they had all those injuries to Lorenzo Carter and Kyler Fackrell and O'Shane Zimenez, they just didn't have the dynamic edge pass rusher, the number one pass rusher, the difference-making pass rusher, the guy that they really need to complement all of the other quality pieces that they do have on defense. You know, and to me, those are the priorities that the Giants have to have this offseason, is that dynamic wide receiving threat and finding that dynamic number one pass rusher, if they can find that guy as well. Those, to me, are the real missing pieces on this Giants roster, and they really, really showed up on Sunday night against a really, really good Cleveland Browns team. Now, you know, the other thing that we have to talk about is Joe Judge's aggressiveness in the red zone on fourth downs, you know, early in Sunday night's game. Now, listen, you know, you can argue that the Giants left points on the or off the board because they failed on those two fourth downs, and it would have been nice to have 9 points, but I believe, you know, in his post game, which you'll hear a little bit of later on, you know, Judge said he knew that field goals weren't going to win the game. This is a Cleveland team that scored more than 40 points in each of its last two games, has an explosive offense, both running and passing. The Giants were undermanned. They were the underdog. They knew they had to do some things outside the box in order to put themselves in position to win on Sunday night. I had no problem with the fourth and two, you know, running play to Wayne Gallman. It's a staple play for the Giants. It's something that they do a lot, that they do well. You know, Cleveland just made a better play, and Gallman came up a little bit short. The odd play, and, you know, to be honest, I don't have a problem with faking a field goal either on the very first drive. The problem that I had was that the Giants came up with a very odd-looking play that really, really just wasn't going to work when you're trying to throw the ball down the middle of the field to your center, having your punter do that. Just an odd-looking play. It might have worked if Riley Dixon had found Graham Gano, the place kicker who happened to be open in the end zone, or maybe thrown the ball out to the left to long snapper Casey Kreider, who might have been open with a couple of blockers in front of him. But as I wrote this morning at Big Blue View, that's an awful big ask for a punter to read progressions, go to his second or third option. Just a weird looking play. I know Joe Judge said he liked the scheme. He liked it on paper. He liked it when the Giants practiced it. But just a play that, that looked messy and obviously didn't work. I mean, we'd be singing Judge's praises if the Giants had come up with a fake there that worked, or if this particular play worked. I know that, but still, I thought this was a play that was just a strange one. And listen, I have a hard time criticizing Judge for going for a fake. It's the second or third time this year he's done that. You know, for years I've wanted to see the Giants be more aggressive in their kicking game and run a fake once in a while, do something creative, you know, throw a pass, look for a big play. The Giants have tried to do that two or three times this year, haven't always been successful with it, but I give Judge, I give Thomas McGahee credit for being willing to come up with those plays, to put them into the game plan and to try them, you know, to go for things. And yet I just didn't like the design of this particular play. I think they can do better. Finally, the last thing I want to talk about before I play the audio for you from Joe Judge and several of the Giants players is the NFC East standings. Giants have two games left with the Ravens and Cowboys, still sit a game behind the Washington football team. But, you know, Washington has Carolina and Philadelphia, whereas the Giants have the Baltimore Ravens and Dallas Cowboys. So it looks to me like, you know, Washington has the easier road over the last two games. Giants are going to have to find a way to beat the Baltimore Ravens. The Giants really, you know, they still have the tiebreaker when it comes to the overall standings with Washington. So if they both manage to end up with the same number of victories, the Giants would go to the playoffs instead of Washington. But right now, chances are the Giants are just not going to do that. Obviously, you know, we will continue to, you know, we'll give you a whole lot more about the standings all week. We'll give you a whole lot more, you know, breakdowns regarding Sunday night's game. We'll be giving you previews all week of Giants versus Ravens at BigBlueView.com and here on Big Blue View Radio. So stay tuned for all of that. Right now, Giants fans, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. When we come back, you'll hear audio from Joe Judge and some of the Giants players as they react to Sunday night's loss.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Here is Giants coach Joe Judge talking about his decision to go for it on a pair of fourth downs early in Sunday night's game, both of which failed, one of which was a very curious-looking fake field goal attempt.
Hey, Joe, you were, you know, more aggressive than usual on those fourth downs in the red area. How much was that impacted by, you know, Cleveland has a very explosive offense, you guys were a little shorthanded, you felt like you needed to maximize those opportunities?
Yeah, field goals weren't going to win this game. So, look, I'm not afraid to call things aggressively. I'm not afraid if I think we have a good scheme in a kicking game to call a fake. I'm not afraid to run the ball in fourth and one. And we'll play to our defense at times. If we don't get that, we've got to go out there and stand up defense. Our defense has done that consistently throughout the year. We're going to play the strengths of our team. But, look, I'm not afraid to call it aggressively. We went into this game with that mindset. So we've got to do a better job making sure we coach it the right way, execute it the right way, and come out with the results we want. But that being said, we're going to call this thing aggressively, and we're going to play it aggressively. And when you make calls like that, you let your players understand that you have confidence in them and that they can play the game aggressively. So we have confidence in our players. I want them to go out and play aggressively. I can't tell them all week that they have to go into this game with an aggressive mindset. and then hold them back at some point where we feel we have a chance to make a play.
And can you just explain what you saw and what happened on the fake?
I mean, look, they did a good job. They obviously fell off and made the coverage. Mike does a real good job, you know, coaching those guys. They were, you know, situationally, there's a little bit of confusion at first. They settled on down. We thought we had a chance at it. It was worth rolling the dice right there and playing to our defense. They made a play. We didn't. That's all right. I thought the scheme was sound going in. And if we have something else, we'll always look to use it in the right opportunity.
Here's quarterback Colt McCoy on the Giants' failures in the red zone.
I think my frustration lies in we have to be better in the red zone. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I think I can do a much better job. But I think collectively as a group, we've got to figure it out when we get down there. First half, I felt like, you know, we didn't even punt. So we were moving the ball. We shot ourselves in the foot. You know, we went for it on fourth down, and down tight and came up a half short. So those are huge plays in a game like this that we've got to make. If we want to go for it on fourth down with a fake field goal, we got to convert it. Like, that's just – you want to win football games, that's what we got to do. When our defense holds a team like that, an offense like that, to 20 points, we got to pull, you know, our side of the ball. We got to score some points. And, you know, like I mentioned, I think coming out of this game, that's my frustration is we didn't do enough down in the red zone. And, you know, a lot of that's on me. And I've got to be more detailed. I got to be better down there.
Here is Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard objecting to the idea that Giants receivers aren't getting enough separation, getting open for their quarterbacks.
Shep, you've been pretty elusive, slippery receiver in your career. Why are you guys as a group having so much trouble creating separation right now? Is it because of the run game?
I don't know where people are getting that from, to be honest. You know, creating separation, is that what you're saying?
It's what the analytics say, the next-gen stats.
That we're getting, what, 2 yards of separation? In NFL, that's open. So I don't know what the analytics say, but, you know, you can go off that if you want to. I know what I see on film, and for those of them that think that way, you know, go look at the film. So
here is Giants defensive back Logan Ryan on where the Giants are with two games remaining in the season.
Zach Rosenblatt, NJ.com.
Hey, Logan, I don't think you've been a part of a team that had a losing record since your freshman year at Rutgers or something like that. And you guys just clinched that, obviously. I'm just curious, like, how do you feel about where this team is at now as you head into these last two games?
I love where the team's at. You know, I've never been 1-7 before either, but we fought. And we fought and we fought and counted out, left for dead, and we won some games, surprised some people who didn't believe in us, and then everyone believed in us. Now people don't believe again. So it doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter. We are where we are, and we got two games in front of us where we got to go out there and win. And that's all that matters. I've been a leader since my days at Rutgers, and all our games were hard fought. If you watch Rutgers games, they were hard fought, and a lot of my games in my career have been hard fought. And I was never a front runner, and I'm not a front runner now, so I have no problem with the position we're in, as long as you can believe that we can win next week, and we got to watch this film and get our attitude to be there.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you, as always, for listening. We remind you to please subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check us out on Instagram at big_blue_view. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on Facebook. Follow at Big Blue View on Twitter. All right, Giants fans, please remember, stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.